Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto World Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined this fine Tuesday by Kyle Dvorchik, Lawrence Jackson. We're gonna do what we do every week: break down another bizarre Monday night football game. Really, this Monday night game had some pretty big Thursday night energy. had specifically some Broncos Colts Thursday night energy. Not quite as bad as that epic from earlier in the season. But then we're gonna do what we do every Tuesday, which is get into the players we were having trouble ranking. But we'll start at running back because we're going to have trouble ranking the Steelers running backs this week. Najee Harris made it only one half against the Colts. Jaylen Warren missed week 12 with a hamstring injury. I mean, last night, who was it? Kyle, Benny Snell and McFarland?
Yeah, McFarland, who they waived on the final cuts for roster cuts in August / like the first day of September, whenever it is. But then they brought back to the practice squad, and he's been up a few times, getting almost no run, but been on the active game day roster a few times. And strangely, having watched this game, I know that, like, I don't know if Najee like has looked banged up all year, but McFarland was actually the first running back not named Najee Harris to take the field for the Steelers. But it looked like, you know, sort of simplifying this, that he was playing the Jaylen Warren role with Jaylen Warren out, and his skill set kind of matches up with that, at least like his hypothetical skill set that he came out of college with. Hasn't really shown a ton of that, but it looks like he was playing the Warren role. Then once Najee went down, Benny Snell played the Najee role. And ironically, his bang between the tackles for 3.2 yards per carry skill set is the same one Najee has, except he looked far more explosive last night.
Man, don't put Najee on blast like that. It was worth mentioning, Jaylen Warren was questionable, supposedly, for Monday Night Football before not playing, suggesting he's close to a return. Lawrence, they get the Falcons this week. The Falcons, as we know, they love to give up fantasy points. I think they're like top six or seven against running backs. If Najee Harris sits, if Jaylen Warren plays, are we looking at a top 20 option at running back?
That'll be tough because of some of the reasons that Kyle just mentioned. You just see the names that he mentioned alone. That's way too many names to feel confident about any one of them coming back. Now, if Najee somehow musters up the energy and brute strength to come back, then I have him as a top 15 running back, right at 15, which is the best I think any of us have ever ranked him in a long while because they're going against Atlanta. But if Jaylen Warren was questionable coming into week 12, you saw Benny Snell, he had effective runs as well. He got in the end zone. Then there was McFarland, who was, like Kyle said, he was the guy playing behind Najee Harris. It's a lot going on there. You just know that because it's the Falcons, somebody gonna score. I don't know if one guy, or we don't know which one guy can be that potential top 20 play, not this early in the week at least.
Kyle makes an important distinction. Jaylen Warren was called questionable by Mike Tomlin earlier in the week. Then he was actually ruled out. He never actually got the Q tag.
Yeah, he was ruled out on hypothetically on Friday, like most players are, though, because it was Monday night, it was Saturday. But it was the typical not practicing. I think he might have actually been like limited in practice, maybe. But either way, he was ruled out, as teams do on their final day of official practices. But I mean, I think it still matters somewhat that Tomlin was holding out hope early in the week.
Yeah, but it might seem like we're splitting hairs there. But yeah, it is an important. If he had gotten the actual Q tag, that would have suggested he was pretty close to playing. Being called that's questionable. True. Also, Kyle, he didn't get in a single rep last week.
That's not great then. It makes the Tomlin questionable sound more like big optimism than any like real shot.
That's like when Joe Burrow was like, Jamar Chase gonna play, and then he didn't play. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Don't do this to us. Like, you knew he wasn't gonna play.
But Jamar Chase is gonna play this week, right?
I mean, Jamar Chase was going to play last week. I assume he is.
Yeah, but I'll do one of my favorite bits. You see this the beautiful office? If you want me to still have this office, Jamar Chase needs to play this week. You can't lose any more money.
Yeah, Jamar I could Chase, use some Chase so this week, man.
Could really, really use some Chase. Could we use anything at all in the Colts passing game? Which, and even Troy Aikman's actually gotten grouchier as he's aged. He used to be Mr. Positive. Now he's fairly grouchy. He called the Colts passing attack dreadful, which is pretty surprising to hear on air from any of the major announcers. You know, they don't want to be super negative. They want us to be interested in the game. But Troy Aikman knows that we have eyes, and there was nothing else to call the Colts passing attack. Just truly, truly dreadful against the Steelers. Michael Pittman is still a wide receiver two by average points on the season. He's having trouble cracking the top 30 over the past 5 weeks, though. Has only one touchdown since week one. Is there just not enough upside in this offense, especially with buys about to end, to keep treating Michael Pittman as a top 24 receiver?
I mean, Pittman hasn't been terrible since the return of Matt Ryan in the three games he's played. We've seen at least 50 yards, which isn't a great mark, but a lot of players are banged up. A lot of players have been disappointing. I think it's at least worth noting. At least seven catches for 50 yards, at least six, excuse me, six catches for 50 yards in all three of Ryan's three games back. One touchdown over that span. That's like wide receiver two-ish numbers without putting a blow-up game in there. Now, like obviously, a blow-up game under the cold circumstances is much less likely, but he's still dominating targets. He's still catching a lot of his passes. They're not like prayer yard-style targets from a quarterback whose air yards are truly the prayer style. So I'm probably still ranking him top 20. I am definitely still ranking him top 24, frankly. It's not even a discussion for me, but when you're so ceiling capped by playing for this totally dreadful, that is correct, a dreadful offense.
Shouts to Troy. He's right.
He's definitely right. I get it. Like, you don't want to tell listeners, turn the TV off, but like, I don't know. He was doing them a favor calling a spade a spade. So he'll probably be like 18 for me, I'd guess.
Seems high.
Yeah, I got him at 22 right now. So keeping him inside the top 24, you kind of like feel like it's a must, because even though, you know, the offense is what it is, it seems like he's squeezing all the juice out of it. Got a lot of targets. That means something in fantasy, I reckon. 11 targets, 7 catches, 61 yards. It's just not going anywhere. It's dink and dunk and, you know, he don't got no time to throw, and when he do, is still not working. It's wild, man. Wild times. But guy, it's not to the point where and it's close to that where we have to put him outside the top 24. But like Kyle said, there's no blow up game in there to help boost the average a little bit. But this the thing: can we even get a blow up game out of this? I don't know. Their blow-up game would be like Jonathan Taylor busting a 60-yard run. That's the only thing you could count on in his offense.
It's been a while, but we had the 16-target, 134-yard game. This was week 6 versus the Jags, and that's going to have to be the blow-up game for him. And we've seen it in that he has been really controlling the targets as the team's wide receiver one. But his blow-up games are sort of like the Keenan Allen-style blow-up games where he just gets the ball a lot, which is still in the range of outcomes. But it's not as fun of a blow-up game as it like would have been last year or something of that nature.
He needs something like what DK Metcalf had in week 12. It's like 11 catches for 90 yards. And so far, I have him as the wide receiver 27. I'll be honest.
Oh, play the game. I'm going to hear it.
Obviously, that's the setup for playing the game. Michael Pittman at the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, first off, they're playing the Cowboys this week. And as we saw last night, sorry to regurgitate a tweet, like Matt Ryan was just like going side to side. It looked like his controller was stuck and he was just strafing. Like he, like the second they snapped the ball, he was like trying to get away from the pass rush. And TJ Watt, it's a pretty good pass rush, but it's the Cowboys and Mike. Well,
now they face a better pass rush.
So my goodness, tough matchup for the Colts. So Michael Pittman at the Cowboys, Juju Smith-Schuster at the Bengals.
Juju.
All right. Yeah. Michael Pittman, the Cowboys, or Devontae Smith, who is Michael Pittmaning pretty hard against the Titans.
Devontae Smith.
Michael Pittman.
They ain't gonna be able to run the Eagles.
Gabriel Davis at the New England Patriots or Michael Pittman at the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know how to get me. I'm going Pittman.
Oh,
Kyle?
Gabe, I'm still drinking the Mountain Dew. We're playing Gabe.
Although, you know, Gabe.
How are you getting this guy in the top 20?
Gabe is, like, I'll say this. I feel a lot more, like we was just talking about blow-up games. At least Gabe Davis had a possibility of that. The possibility of that is much less for Michael Pittman, and that's just the truth.
One more, then. We'll do Gabriel Davis at the Cowboys. Or the aforementioned Keenan Allen against the horrible Las Vegas Raiders.
You mean Pittman at the Cowboys?
Yeah, sorry.
Making sure we weren't mixing that up.
Who did I say?
you said Gabe at the Cowboys. We're still talking Gabe. I mean, I don't blame you. Talking Gabe is more
Gabe's
fun.
On the Colts now.
I'd hope so. Pittman.
Pittman or who?
Keenan Allen at the Raiders.
Oh, Keenan Allen. You chose Pittman, Kyle?
How are you guys getting this guy in the top 20, man?
What?
Well, Lawrence hasn't been wide receiver 22, but you might need to rethink this, Kyle. That's all I'm saying.
I'll never recant.
You'll never recant. we'll stick at wide receiver because there's a lot going on at wide receiver this week. We have a lot of really interesting names. I have one I wanted to play the game with, but I'll wait for that. We'll stick in the AFC South. Which one of you is having trouble ranking Zay Jones? I believe it's Kyle DeBoer.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Because he had a great game in week 12 against the Ravens. You saw him catch the winning pass for the two-point conversion. Two straight games now with double-digit targets, and now they go on the road to face the Lions, and that game is the second highest on the slate as far as total points in the over-under, 51.5. Only behind the Chiefs and the Bengals. We know the Lions can score points, especially when they're at home. And the Jaguars coming off the game that they just had, the way they came back, that was, I would say that's Trevor Lawrence's best game as a pro. 321 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And Zay Jones was a big part of that, catching 11 passes for 145. So the question is, like, we were just talking about Michael Pittman, and I'm thinking, I'm feeling like, Pat, you should have brought up Zay Jones or Michael Pittman. So now that makes it interesting on where to rank him this week.
Well, Zay Jones is a really weird one because he hasn't gotten much rankings respect all year. I actually had him, I think, fairly high, maybe compared to industry consensus. I was pushing him close to the top 40, which, I mean, I know is still not that high. But he's on the season, Zay Jones is tied for 13th with 58 catches, which I think we mentioned on the Monday podcast with Denny. He's tied for 24th with 79 targets. He has 19 catches for 213 yards over the past week, 2 weeks. Like, Trevor Lawrence is playing better ball. We're going to talk about Trevor Lawrence later in the show. And it's kind of like, how in the world do we keep that guy out of the top 36, a.k.a. wide receiver 3? And really, how do we keep him out of the top 30? I do have him I have him at the wide receiver 33 spot right now, though, Kyle.
Okay, you bet. Have to do that. I got him at 37.
Yeah, see, we got to give him respect. We got to give him respect, our elders. Zay Jones, he's like 35, isn't he?
He ain't that.
Kyle, you have any Zay Jones thoughts?
He's good. He's pretty good. I think what he's doing is sort of proving the thesis that Christian Kirk can't be your number one, but also what Zay Jones has done throughout this year is prove that Zay Jones can't be your number one. They basically just have two 1B type players. And in the past two games, when it's not quite a shootout with the Chiefs, but at least a good back and forth affair with the Chiefs where their underdogs have to play from behind, he has a solid 868, 10 targets game. And then really in the more explosive shootout in terms of 55 points, I believe, scored versus Baltimore. Yeah, that one goes nuts, 11 for 145. In games with really good pace, good scoring environment, which the Lions potentially could be, he's probably a really strong wide receiver three bet because he has almost as good of a chance of leading the targets as Christian Kirk. I'd still rank Kirk ahead of him, but gap is closing. So I feel like 36 has to be like the floor. I'm not ranking him over Pittman. That's not one of the ways in which Pittman gets knocked out of the top.
Yeah, I won't do that. Well, actually,
it's not a terrible question. I am not taking him over Pittman, but like Zay Jones looked good, and it's a really good spot. I mean, facing Lions is just the best, man.
Yeah, it's just an explosion spot. And you're right, the gap is narrowing between Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. It's not closing. They're kind of both still compiling based, but Christian Kirk is still the one that has the ceiling. Probably still has better touchdown odds. His usage, Zay Jones's usage, has been increasing, I think, since Evan Ingram got banged up too. Evan Ingram's playing, but he's kind of like disappearing. Like he's had very, very little production over the past 3 or 4 weeks. And yeah, Kyle, it's the Lions. I just feel like you got to get him in the top 36. First time all year, probably any of us have him ranked in the top 36, but it just really is time. We're not going to play as extensive of a game here. But Zay Jones at the Detroit Lions or Alan Lazard at the Chicago Bears?
Zay Jones.
Yeah, Zay Jones.
I have Zay Jones as well. Or here's another good matchup. Zay Jones at the Lions or Drake London against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, Zay Jones. Come on. Falcons not receiver Drake London.
All right. Don't boot.
Yeah, if you ask me this in week two, and we got a different answer.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to get shouted down on Drake London. Man, the Falcons are depressing. Zay Jones at the Lions, Jacoby Myers at the Buffalo Bills.
Zay Jones for me, man.
I think Zay Jones.
Here's a really weird one. I wanted to be done. Zay Darius Slayton against the Commanders.
Now we're talking.
Zay, but I do like Slayton. I really do like Slayton, but it's just a good looking spot.
Yeah. You asking it now, I feel like Zay, but I know for a fact I have Slayton like two spots ahead of him.
Darius Slayton is kind of Zay Jonesing, where commanding a lot of volumes, pushing his way up the ranks. Unlike Zay, it's not like – so Zay has target competition, which is kind of making it even more impressive for Zay Jones. Darius Slayton doesn't have a target. So rarely I feel like these dots actually connect. Like, well, they have no one to throw to, so they got to throw to X. That is what's happening with Darius Slayton, and it's continuing.
I mean, it only took them losing their first nine receivers to get Darius Slayton, who's like a legit good ball player.
He's been the one who's been the best and most consistent.
Yeah.
I've never had any idea why the Giants don't like him more. I have no clue why some team just like wouldn't trade a fourth-round pick for him last offseason. I was stumping for that on Twitter. I just thought he was a good player, just buried for no reason. And thankfully, for the Giants' sake, they kept him around, and now he's producing. So I misattributed Zay Jones to Kyle Dvorak at first. Kyle, who are you having trouble ranking a wide receiver for week 13?
Well, you were thinking of AFC South receivers, which apparently that's just where we are living right now, because I'm going to stick in the division. Treylon Burks. It's more of how high do I want to push him, because I was very excited for him as a prospect. He was efficient to start the year, but wasn't playing the full-time role, gets banged up. Now he's come back, and I mean, he has been truly elite since coming back. He's 12th in yards per route run over the past three games. He's got I think it's a 21% target share, a 30% air yard share. He's playing like a wide receiver one. He's efficient. He's still not getting all of the snaps, all of the routes, but we're pushing towards that. And that's what we were pushing towards right before the foot injury, too. He's efficient. His role is growing. Like I get it's the Titans offense, not our favorite to attack to the pass, but also I saw like it's obviously like a low IQ comparison to make, but he kind of looked a little AJ Brown in the last week, and that's what this offense needs. They don't need the target hog 15 targets per game DeAndre Hopkins type. They just need someone who can make the Ryan Tannehill gimmick play action stuff work. Let Ryan Tannehill throw 20 times a game, but let 9 of those be just bombs, because they did that really well with AJ Brown. He wasn't, you know, the most used receiver in the league, but he was incredibly valuable to the offense. And if Burks can just replace that little bit of it, where you can just heave it to a guy on play action, one-on-one coverage deep, and that guy has a chance of winning, that's how this offense was designed to work, and that's how it was working a year or two ago. So I'm a little excited for this Treylon Burks fella.
And Lawrence, for just to Kyle's point, he has a 50-plus yard catch each of the past 2 weeks, Treylon Burks. So it's kind of goose the yardage total, but also the kind of player he should be. And as Kyle points out, that's the way the Titans want to play offense. They want to lull you to sleep at the run and hit a big play action bomb deep. Lawrence, how are you feeling about Treylon for week 13?
If you want to make that sound a little bit better, you could say three catches of at least 40 yards in the past 2 weeks.
Yes.
There you go.
I did not know that.
They also ran the perfect play, you know, kind of a new 2022 hook and ladder where they let Derrick Henry run all the way to the goal line. And he drop it and Treylon. Like, it was a perfect play. So
it was.
Everyone who started Treylon Burks, you got those four catches, 70 yards, and that touchdown on that perfectly designed play. But it, like you said, Kyle, he has to be that guy in the offense. And since he's come back from injury, he has been given that opportunity to do so. So I think the only thing that makes it questionable where to rank him is how often can they, like, get that off. You know what I'm saying? Like, it got to a point where A.J. Brown, you felt comfortable starting him every week because you knew he was that efficient and that valuable to the – he was making most of the opportunities. Once Treylon Burks starts to do that, then we won't have a question of where we rank him because he'll be the top, you know, 15 receiver that they want him to be.
So he has at least six targets all three games since returning. He's cleared 70 yards each of the past 2 weeks. Things are really trending up for Treylon Burks. And by the way, what's the better touchdown? Treylon Burks kind of like jumping on the landmine in the end zone or Sam Darnold barrel rolling?
The barrel roll is so good. Barrel roll is iconic.
It was an elite name. It
really was. I'm going to go Treylon Burks because I started him and needed that dearly.
True.
Man. Like, I came immediately to Twitter to see if that counted. Not my fantasy app, Twitter, to find out if that was a touchdown.
Shouts to Elon Musk. Please don't ruin our beloved Twitter. by the way, Treylon Burks, Alan Lazard at the Bears.
Oh, Burks.
Okay. Hell yeah.
I would go Burks.
Playing in some themes we're going to talk about a little later in the show. Treylon Burks or Donovan Peoples-Jones with a returning Deshaun Watson against the Houston Texans?
Burks.
Alf, give me the alphas all day. Burks is that dude. He's got that him. I'm not taking these number two receivers out here.
Listen, Donovan, who you think a better number two receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones or Gabe Davis?
Oh, come on, man.
I don't know. If you search Gabe Davis in the NBC Slack, you will find some slander from myself, who drafted a ton of Gabe. I took so much of him. But, like, the thesis of him being the second receiver for Josh Allen has exactly played out, and nothing more has played out. That's what's been happening. So, Gabe still.
DPJ is a more consistent number two. Let's put it that way.
I love DPJ. But
I do like DPJ. Producer Adam's telling us to imagine if DPJ was in the Bills, but this is real life.
Ooh.
Gabe's on the Bills, and Gabe is amazing. We can never question Gabe.
Don't question
Gabe. I still play Gabe every week. I still say you should be playing him. But the more I watch him, I think, like, this guy really plays with Josh Allen, doesn't he?
Yeah. Gabe, you know, humiliating me around my family on Thanksgiving, by the way. tough scene.
Ah, well.
Nevertheless.
Wouldn't be the first Thanksgiving.
real quick, Zay Jones against the Lions, Treylon Burks against the Eagles.
Treylon. Oh, Lawrence, you checking your rankings to see which one you
have? Yeah, I am. Give me Treylon Burks.
There we go. Trey.
It was early when I did these. My eyes was barely open. I might have to do some revising here.
Well, it is funny when we like convince each other that we need to change our rankings live on the air. I've done that a few times over the past 2 weeks.
All of these dudes is right there with Gabe Davis leading that pack for me at 29.
I hate to break the AFC South monopoly, but we're going to head to the NFC North. We're going to have quarterback questions for the Green Bay Packers this week. We don't have matchup questions. It's the Chicago Bears. And we do not have production questions with this player, Christian Watson. He's the wide receiver 2 over the past 3 weeks by average points, hitting a touchdown almost every week, basically living up to his pre-draft. Yeah, living up to his pre-draft billing of a guy who might be a little volatile, but it's going to have a lot of booms along with his busts. And yeah, it's been boom. Business has been booming basically every week. Now we have the matchup. We don't know about the quarterback, though. Aaron Rodgers is the thumb. Now he's the ribs. Where in the world are we ranking Christian? Is it time to get Christian Watson in the top 24? Let's begin there.
Pretty sure I had him there last week.
Think I did. Maybe. I don't know. It was a long
don't
time
check me
ago.
On this.
It was a long time ago. But is he a set and forget wide receiver two with bye weeks ending? Kyle, come on. Off the top of your dome, tell us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, not only – like, obviously the touchdowns are going to regress, right? You can't score. He has six touchdowns in the past 3 weeks, two games, multiple touchdowns. Like, that won't stand. But the things that will stand are he's been elite in yards per out run. He's second since the past 3 weeks. He's also had a role that would make sense for a touchdown scoring player. He's fifth in total air yards the past 3 weeks, second in the NFL in end zone targets. They're getting him long looks. They're getting him looks that will result in scoring because they're throwing to him in the paint. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be – I don't think he's going to be the wide receiver two from here on out, right? But do I think he can be the wide receiver 21 on this elite level of volume? Definitely, with the only exception being this Jordan Love situation is a little suspect. I know Love got him the long touchdown, but I don't think it'll work out as well going forward with Love. But putting that aside, his role – I think his role is that of like a true top 20 receiver.
Yeah, I think for this particular game, I think the business keeps on booming. Pat, he'll get another touchdown against the Bears. And for this game, it'll be regardless of who's at quarterback. You know, playing against the Bears is a good time to get your feet wet and have a good game. Ask Mike White about that. in the way Jordan Love looked against the Eagles, I feel real good about the hit. It's him or Aaron Rodgers. Definitely Aaron Rodgers will light these dudes up. But I think Jordan Love could come in and have a decent game against them too. So, yeah, man, keep the Christian Watson touchdown train rolling. It is tough to rank him because if he don't get the touchdown, it's not like he had 10 targets in the game or nothing like that. That's what kind of pulls us all back from just completely being like, Christian Watson is the best receiver in the league right now.
Well, I mean, I feel like you might be the best receiver in the league if you have six touchdowns on your past 12 catches.
That is hard to argue.
And that can't regress. That just doesn't happen. You're just that good. I do think Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be out there at quarterback this week, but he's going to be like spitting out teeth like Chiclets or something. Like he seems like he's really down bad. He's really laboring. Like he was pausing to take a breath after every snap after he injured his ribs last week. But you know, he's a man of monstrous ego. I don't think he's going to want to sit on the bench. I do think if Jordan Love plays, he looked good against the Eagles. It wasn't quite garbage time, but the Eagles weren't exactly like getting after it, you know. Like that game was – it wasn't out of reach, but it was pretty comfortable.
They definitely had a chance. But what you just said about Aaron Rodgers, do you know what happens if he lets Jordan Love play against the Bears?
I was going to make this point. Oh he God. Cannot stand – like, he knows. He's looking up listen, the CPA per play stats right. and saying this is too good of a matchup. This is,
look, he's like, hey, if we was playing the 49ers, sure, go ahead. Go ahead. You get that start, kid. You get that. But you see Zach Wilson's face – every time they show him on the sideline, is Mike White is just taking advantage of this poor Bears defense and out there being a top five fantasy QB for the week. Aaron Rodgers is going to come out there limping, like you said, spitting them teeth right from the gums. He is not letting that dude start against the Bears. Aaron Rodgers, like he said it, what'd he say? He's something to the effect of, I own the Bears.
He does own the Chicago Bears, actually, but legally now.
You know he about to get this easy win and puff his chest out.
And he's said it, like he's played in the past on painkillers. He'll probably be doing willing to do whatever it takes to get
you
out.
You guys remember that injury or the post game interview where like clearly had hopped in the locker room real quick, juiced him up a little bit, and he is just loving life after the game. He's like the happiest person you've ever seen in a game that he got injured in, which was strange. And it's strange how that happened.
So yeah, we're think the A-Dog will be out there. And by the way, even if Jordan Love plays and like goes nuts, even if he played and like went nuts the rest of the season, all you need to do is Google Aaron Rodgers over the cap to see why Aaron Rodgers will be starting for the Green Bay Packers in 2023. There will be no there for that storyline. There will be some there when we come back right after this.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app, go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play, and you have a shot to win thousands this weekend by predicting what will happen in college football, on the PGA Tour, and in the World Cup. There's also $100,000 up for grabs by guessing the outcome between the Colts and Cowboys in our Sunday Night 7 contest. And don't forget, download the RotoWorld app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players on your roster. Get the latest injury updates, player news, and much more delivered right to your phone. It's available in your app store today. I did the promo reads before we could do the game with Christian Watson, but we probably don't need to do the game with Christian. I mean, Christian Watson or Brandon Ayuk. Let's just Christian Watson against the Bears, Brandon Ayuk against the Dolphins.
Watson.
Yeah, I go Watson.
Oof, man, you answer that really fast.
Dude, he's scoring all the touchdowns. Of course I'm going to pick Christian Watson.
Hey, Brandon Ayuk, 2 catches, 20 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's last true. Game.
He's on the Christian Watson.
Or not last game. It was against the Cardinals.
It was 2 weeks ago, but same difference.
Yeah.
Well, no, not same difference. Christian Watson doesn't take weeks off, baby.
he don't take weeks off scoring, huh?
That's a real, real good point. Man, we're not going to talk about it, but it's a weird week at receiver. At 11 to 20, it's like the Amari – I don't know where to rank. I don't know who to basically make like the wide receiver 11. It's between like Amari Cooper, Chris Olave, Chris Godwin, McLaurin, Debo, Lockett, DK Metcalf, Garrett Wilson, Mike Evans. It's a real, real jumble.
The way you read them off, I assume you read them off in the order you have them.
Pretty much, yeah.
I thought the top made sense, like Olave and someone else is up in there.
But Godwin ahead of Evans this week.
That's fine.
Evans is looking like he's hurt.
I've been doing that the past 10 years. No, I'm just
it looks like you had DK Metcalf. I'd like to, he's not on the show sheet, but I'd like to pick a bone with this.
I have as the wide receiver 19. What's the bone?
You had him behind Lockett, didn't you?
Yeah.
This is absurd. He has like 15 more targets over the past 3 or 4 weeks.
He does, but he's so much less efficient than Tyler Lockett is.
No, we are fading that. Look at him. Look at him. Google him right now. I don't know if you've seen this, but Google him. Maybe add shirtless at the end of it and tell me that guy won't be efficient going forward. I'm just not buying this.
I also think, you know, he's been banged up. What was it? It was his knee? Like he like exploded his knee and then he missed like 4 days.
I know, that was hilarious. He had like no business playing. They were like, his season might be over.
And then he came back and had a good game after that.
Like, yeah, and he had like 15 targets last week.
He's fine. He had ACL surgery and came back in 5 days.
He does have that dog in him. No one can accuse DK Metcalf of not having that dog in him. Kyle, this was an initial go through the rank. I guess maybe once I get everyone's game logs pulled up, once I get everyone's advanced stats pulled up, may I have to make the switch to Mr. DK Metcalf ahead of Tyler Lockett. But we're not here to talk about the wide receiver past. We're here to talk about the running back present. Lawrence, who are you having trouble ranking at running back this week?
Miles Sanders. You know, we saw him have his best game of the season since Jacksonville back in early October. 143 yards, 2 touchdowns, great stuff. He even caught a couple of passes, something that he usually doesn't do. So you would think, all right, this is good. Let's get back to riding that momentum. In the previous two games, he had rushed for under 60 yards in both of those with no touchdowns. Now he's facing the Titans run defense. And we all know the Titans, when people face the Titans, they try to run. They figure out that it's not going to work. And then they throw to beat them. Joe Burrow did it. Patrick Mahomes did it. Okay, a lot of people didn't do it because the Titans are still a good team, but that's kind of how you have to get after
it. It's how you beat the Titans. It really is. Yeah, you got to get them there.
And again, they haven't allowed a running back to average more than 3.5 yards per carry in a game since way back in week 7. We are now in week 13. And that running back,
it's a great stat,
ironically, was Jonathan Taylor on that Colts offense. So it's going to be a little tougher to run from the running back position. I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to have a problem getting his rushing yards because he could run off the scramble. He could run off the read option, which that'll be tougher for him. But as far as running from the actual running back position may be tough. And because Miles Sanders isn't, Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, when it comes to the receiving game, I'm having a tough time because he should be inside the top 20 running backs just based on the offense that he's in. But can we really do that this week with this matchup?
You laid it out so well. Lawrence, I got caught sleeping with him even against the Packers, who we know are an awful run defense, but the matchups hadn't even really mattered that much for Miles Sanders. You got the Texans, the worst run defense in the NFL a month ago. He had a good game. He had 17 carries, 93 yards, a touchdown. That's a really good game. But the Texans are a team, if you're like a great running back, you go over 100 yards. And he hadn't been over 100 yards since week 4, had done it only one time all year. It doesn't have the volume. He'd only received 20 carries one time all year. So I felt kind of embarrassed with my Miles Sanders ranking after the fact, because it did make a lot of sense that they just punished them on the ground. But you laid out the reasons why you can kind of get caught sleeping with someone like Miles Sanders. And then you laid out the reasons why you might not want to point chase with them this week, because it's going to be a really, really tough matchup. Break the tie. Where are we putting Miles Sanders for week 13?
I still think he's a top 20 running back. I think this is still an elite offense. He's a 3.5-point favorite. I think this is one of the more boom-busty spots for him, whereas, well, like you said, it hasn't really been as much defense-dependent. It's really just if he finds the end zone, right? And he's not the number one end zone running back on his team. That's Jalen Hurts. So I definitely think it's like a fragile spot, but that's kind of the nature of the running back position. The guys who are not fragile are ranked inside the top 12. So I'll probably still have him there because he plays for one of the best offenses, but like I totally acknowledge the fact that a 13 for 70 yard, one catch, no touchdowns performance, that could happen. And you're looking at eight PPR points right there.
Well, all right. We got to, not to bore the listeners, but we got to play the game. We got to play the game. Miles Sanders against the Tennessee Titans or Jeff Wilson in a revenge game against the San Francisco 49ers?
Jeff.
I'll go Jeff. I actually got Jeff ranked right ahead of Miles Sanders.
Close. I do too. One spot. Jamal Williams against the Jacksonville Jaguars, this game with a total over 50, or Miles Sanders against the Tennessee Titans?
Give me Mr. Touchdown.
Me too, I think.
Mr. Tutter Tutties?
So many.
He might have 33 yards, but it's going to be two touchdowns.
Final one. Now, I might be revealing a shocking ranking that I have. Miles Sanders against the Tennessee Titans or Alvin Kamara against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Kamara.
I still take Kamara there. Man, I have him ahead of Jeff Wilson by one spot.
I don't know what to do with Kamara.
But he's lower. Like, I got Kamara ranked lower than I ever had him ranked.
Kamara's 4-week high for rushing yards is 42. His 4-week high for receiving yards is 47. Ugh, man, he doesn't have a touchdown in over a month. What the heck?
I didn't even know. I mean, his 6-week high in rushing yards is 62.
Yeah, it is.
Ugh.
Man, free Jameis. That's all I can say. Free Jameis. I don't know. That actually further imprisons Alvin, but we got to free Jameis, folks. We have to.
Yeah, definitely further imprisons Alvin, but maybe it's better for the offense.
I'd rather see the offense get better because then that'll give him better opportunities. Like, he's got the stats are like, I mean, is it really going to get much worse? Over 4 weeks, he's averaging 4 catches and 33 yards receiving. Might as well let it, like, we want 7-60 when it comes to Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, yeah. The thesis of fading Jameis for Alvin Kamara's sake is that it'll be worse for his receiving stats. Dude, they can't get that much worse.
Right. So
you're right.
Right.
You're right. Like,
yeah. Any Mike Davis could come out here and get 33 receiving yards. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Kyle, who are we having trouble ranking for week 13 at running back?
Ryan Robinson. We saw, like, this team, they clearly want to make Brian Robinson a thing. 2 weeks ago, they finally, I thought, were going away from the Brian Robinson experiment, going with Antonio Gibson. Last week goes right back to Robinson. And they were paid off for this, I'll call it persistence, though. I would use a different word to describe them really trying to get Brian Robinson going. But he had 18 over 100. And has been the case, he's been getting some work as a pass catcher, which, again, I don't understand the persistence on using clearly two down back Brian Robinson in the receiving game. Once again, they're paid off. They got a receiving touchdown out of Brian Robinson. So I'm assuming, having been proven right, at least on that 1 week sample with Robinson, they're going to continue to try and ride him. They got to believe the Giants this week, and the Giants are not, they're not just a great defense in general. They're below average, both pass and run EPA.
They're a pretty bad run defense,
but yeah, they're bad. They're
advanced bad or like conventional.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think they allow over 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, and they're above average in a good way for running backs in running back points allowed in terms of fantasy points. So if they're going to get some sort of efficiency from Robinson, that will be all they need to fire him up again this week, which, you know, I want to see more of Antonio Gibson. But if it works out for Robinson, that's also pretty awesome. So I think he's probably, is he top 24?
It's tough because I just feel like they're kind of making it up as they go along. I got him basically right on the RB23 border. I actually am a little lower. I have him right now as the RB29. I think that's one that needs to get higher. Because the Giants allow 5.2 yards per carry. They're very bad on EPA per rush. So advanced and conventional metrics are kind of in alignment. I mean, Brian Robinson, here's who I have ahead of him. Gus Edwards.
I'd take him over Gus.
Yeah, I think I would too. That's a bad rank. DeAndre Swift.
I'd take him over DeAndre Swift 100 times.
Cordero Patterson.
I think I'd take him over CPAP, but that's close.
Then Latavius Murray. I probably need him ahead of Latavius Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that's the first one for me. All the other ones, I'd have taken him over Brian Robinson.
Oh, wow. All right.
So give us your Brian Robinson spiel, Lawrence. Because I swear, they're just making it up as they go.
Well, it's hard. Right now, I got Gibson at 27 and Brian Robinson at 32. Why? That could easily be flipped and stretched out to top 20 running back status. But you can't ignore, like Kyle said, they've really been trying to make him the dude since they drafted him. You know, even before he got shot, he was ready to take over the spot. Then that happened. Then he came back.
Don't get shot if you're about to take over the running back spot.
Right. Man. And even like, and then he caught a touchdown pass. That's his first catch since preschool. And he took it into the end zone, you know? So, man, I don't know. Like, that maybe, man, now that
he's become a classic, I'm playing him every wrong week.
That's what it is. That's what, because I liked him more than Gibson against the Texans.
How did this dude get 15 carries against the Texans? Like, what's going on here? That's
the
like
week before he had 26.
Spot. Yeah, exactly. Against the Eagles.
Yeah, so it's exactly what you said. We starting him the wrong week, and I'm just going off that pattern, and this might be the wrong week because last week was such a great week, but it's neither here nor there. The Giants are, you know, they okay defense, not the best run defense, but again, which running back is really going to go off from this? They just ride the hot hand, man.
I did move him ahead of Gus. I'm moving Latavius down as we speak right now. And Latavius way too high.
I did have Brian Robinson ahead of Gus by a couple spots.
It didn't make any sense that I had Gus ahead of him. That was kind of like an initial oversight. But I do think he should be ranked ahead of Antonio Gibson. It is a good matchup. Yeah, they cough up a lot of rushing yards. But, man, I just want some sort of pattern to emerge in the Commanders' backfield. So who am I having trouble ranking here? Oh, Damian Pierce. He has 15 carries for 16 yards over the past 2 weeks. He'd been taking the league by storm. Now being on the Texans has caught up with him. Kyle, you told me basically upon fear of death that I needed to have him outside the top 20. Damian Pierce, what are the reasons why?
He plays for the Texans. How is this not more obvious? Not only does he have, what, you said 15 carries for 8 yards or whatever.
16. Come on, man. He's got 16.
Oh, sorry. Yards. I undersold the guy. He has 8 yards before contact in the past 2 weeks. There is the most obvious player to stop on the Texans. His name's Damian Pierce, and they have no one else to worry about because even their receivers, who maybe are talented, I don't know, Brandon Cooks seems like he's on the decline. I don't know if Nico calls.
Brandon Cooks has his injury definitely is wanted trade.
Yeah.
His injury designation.
The receivers are so-so, and the quarterback, no matter who they choose to start in any given week, is no one you have to respect. The offensive line ranks like bottom eight in PFF run blocking grade. He is used but completely ineffective as a receiver out of the backfield. He has one carry inside the five since like week five or six, whenever he played the Jags last. So I just can't even fathom why you'd be playing this guy. Like, I'd rather it's him and Latavius
Murray. Well, you know why? I mean, because he's not going to be this bad. We know he's a really, really good pure runner. We do know he's the focal point of his offense, but like you said, it works both ways. He's the focal point for opposing defenses because the passing game just can't beat them. Like, I don't think he's like never going to have another good game, obviously, but he was running hotter basically than he had any right to for a while.
Like, it's him and Latavius Murray as these guys who get a lot of work and do nothing with it as RB. For me, they'll be like in the low 30s.
But unlike Latavius Murray, he's still actually good. Damian Pierce.
Right? Tell that to Latavius Murray's 52-yard run last week. Didn't see Damian Pierce doing much of that.
Damian recently. Pierce don't know what that's like in a while.
Yep.
I mean, I still keeping the guy in the top 24. I'm going to be honest with you.
I got him at 22, and as soon as we get out here, I'm putting the 32. I'm messing my lineups up. I should have took him out my flex spot and put Gus Edwards in there.
I have him as the RB23. I have him one spot ahead of Isaiah Pacheco, which does seem dumb. probably need to move him down there.
You know, the guy who just gets all the carries for the team.
Hold on.
Who would want to play that guy?
Hold on. I'm moving. I just moved Pacheco ahead of him. All right. You can hear me clicking now. I'm saving. So yeah, he has him as the RB24 now. So he's a RB2 by the letter of the law still. We moved to quarterback where we've got a humongous week 13 variable. It's the return of Deshaun Watson, a topic, frankly, that's still weird to talk about, but he is back. He is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. He was the QB5 by average points the last time he played football in 2020. Are we immediately returning this guy to the top 12, top 10?
Yeah, I'm gonna. It's no better matchup to do it. We just saw Tua slice them up for 280.5. Again, we talked about DPJ earlier. They got Cooper. Everything there is set in place, and you can see the potential of the offense with Jacoby Brissett in there, who's played well. He's better than some of these starters out here. Shout out to
Jacoby. Jacoby has had a good year.
Yeah, he better.
He earned himself a card. Like, he'll get a contract next year.
Definitely.
It'll be a nice one.
Sorry to cut you off, Lawrence.
No, it's all good. So, I mean, Deshaun Watson played like, a quarter in the preseason and it didn't look good. That doesn't mean anything. They're not going to put him out there unless he's prepared and ready to go. For fantasy purposes, I actually got him at I asked myself the same question that you just asked us, Pat. Is he automatically QB1? I probably wouldn't have done that. But it's the Texans in Houston. I don't know how you put it, no better layout or something like that. But I got him at quarterback 10 right now. So you putting him with all these weapons, the top two or three running back, Nick Chubb. So that's where I got it right now.
Yeah, the only guys that have ahead of him, Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Tua, Lamar, and Dak Prescott. Then I was kind of debating, do we immediately put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence? Do we immediately put him ahead of Geno, Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Tom Brady, et cetera? I mean, and the answer is just pretty easily yes.
Definitely Tom Brady.
Yeah. I would take Tom Brady back too. You had Dak ahead of him, you said?
I do, because, I mean, he hasn't played football in 2 years. It's a really,
Has
really
Dak
weird.
Has Dak played football in 2 years? I don't remember seeing him. Yeah, got him. Dang.
come on. I did finally fade Tom Brady. Whereas like Deontay Johnson, I'm done waiting for the regression. He's regressed to 2 touchdowns a week. Congratulations. Thank you, Tom. thanks a lot, man. Really, really great. Really, really appreciate it. My super flex league where I was forced to draft you and you're just ruining my life. Really, really love it. But yeah, I mean, and again, it's weird. Like none of us feel good talking about Deshaun Watson. It's weird. You're not going to feel great playing him in fantasy. It's just a strange situation.
Yeah, but producer Adam points out the total on this Browns Texan game already up 2.5 points, and that's almost off the rip. Like, we're getting these lines Sunday night or whatever. So it looks like a pretty good spot for points. Obviously, that's going to come from Cleveland. The only out to really failing is if they run the ball a ton against the Texans, which is entirely possible. But that's like a gamble I'm willing to take because Jacoby Brissett has looked pretty good in otherwise in his career. Like, I'm not saying he hasn't earned his, you know, the contract he's about to get, but clearly this offense has been useful to him. And he's 10th in EPA per dropback. I think Watson will kind of blow that out of the water. He has good receiving talent. He's even got good tight end talent and a strong line. I'd put him over Dak by a country mile.
You mentioned him not playing in 2 years. That's why I feel like, you know, they could get ahead and run. But they want to warm that arm up.
Probably have like 160 yards.
They going to want to warm that arm up. They just going to let it rip. He going to throw it 68 times.
Boy.
And DPJ going to catch all of them.
So you're taking the over on 67 and a half attempts. That's I like it.
He might throw more
times.
It'll
be interesting to see how it go.
He might throw more times in this game than Dak will over the next 3 weeks. Like they've just completely shut down the passing game. Like, they're a below average pass rate over expected or average. They've been a 0-1 time this year, every other one below average. And they get like 3 straight losing teams coming up. So
real quickly, Trevor Lawrence, I'm seeing every week QB1 at this point. He is a QB1 by average points. He's somehow the QB11 by average points as a smash spot this week in the Lions. So I guess he's a QB1. I mean, is there even any question that Trevor Lawrence is a QB1 this week, basically? Coming off, you know, his best overall game of the year.
Yeah, this week, the Lions.
Feels kind of point chasey, but I think, yeah, all these dots connect.
You're fine to chase points when you're going into Detroit. Like, that is a spot to continue riding this wave. I don't think I'll have him ranked every single week going forward as a QB1, but
yeah,
this week it's a no doubter.
Yeah, I think he's – this is – what a weird year for Trevor Lawrence, because some weeks he's almost like Zach Wilsoning, and then other weeks he's like Clemsoning. I'm like, all right. And I think basically where I kind of like the corny line I used in my article was some variation of, I'm not really sure if he's arrived yet, but it's become pretty clear like he's not going away. Like, and he's,
nah,
he's
just, he was, yeah, he would never go and do that. They just not a great, well, obviously they're not a great team yet. But he getting there. He definitely getting there.
We're getting there to the end of the show. We're not going to talk about tight ends this week. And it's not because I'm rushing out of here to watch Team USA play soccer.
Me neither. Also, for the record, HR, I'm not skipping out in the final
minutes. Do with that. And it's also because we couldn't think of any tight ends to talk about. I mean, Tyler Higbee, I mean, whatever. David Njoku, hopefully back the top 8 at tight end this week after proving his health. But yeah, we really hope by the time you're listening to this, Team USA has advanced the knockout stages of the 2022 World Cup. We hope that you're still fighting for a playoff spot or maybe getting your roster ready for the playoffs. We thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for reading all the stuff we have coming up on the site this week. Kyle's 32 stats, Lawrence's Flex Finder, my rankings. Sorry, Lawrence, I always call it your Flex Finder. Is that even what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I think.
All right, awesome. Mm-hmm. So
I just copy and paste the title from last week, change the week.
So check out all that stuff. Keep listening. We'll be back with the Week 13 Preview Podcast later this week. For Lawrence Jackson, for Kyle Dvorak, I'm Patrick Daugherty. We'll catch you later.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.